At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break. Presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 3 is sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. Nebraska, Cincinnati just under 12 hours away from kicking off in Cincinnati. We're joined now by Tony Pike. He's a host on 1530 ESPN, also a former Bearcats quarterback. Tony, good morning. Question for you. Are you in attendance tonight for the game?
Yes.
You going?
Yes.
All right.
I do the sideline for the football team. So I travel with these guys every single time. And it's unique. We are in we're staying in Overland Park for the game tonight. And we are, I think, staying in the exact same hotel in about a month when the UC Bearcats take on Kansas as well.
Wow.
So we're getting acclimated right now to the city that we're going to be spending a couple dates in this year.
Tony Pike joins us. Guys, Tony Pike threw for 5,000 yards at Cincinnati. He ended his career there in 2009. Big-time career for Cincinnati. Now, this is a native of Cincinnati, too, Tony Pike, and he does a show with Mo Agher, who joined us last week. Now, Tony, Mo told us that he knew nobody. Nobody from
aware
Cincinnati.
Aware of no one.
Nobody from Cincinnati that was going to Arrowhead. Mo told me again, he told us that last week, and he told me again this week. Still know nobody. Tony, do you know anybody besides you and Mo that are going to Cincinnati?
To the game tonight.
I met about 80 people last night. I think I met about 80 people last night that took a flight out yesterday.
Okay, here
I
we
also
go.
Talked to someone last night that thinks it's going to be about 95% Nebraska in Arrowhead Stadium tonight. So a true road atmosphere for the Bearcats.
80, though, there's a plane full.
No,
of...
I don't know 80, but I've seen since I've been
We've
here.
We've heard the number floating 80 is 80
have
right
learned,
now.
Have worn UC stuff.
Potentially 80 people in the stands tonight.
Okay, good. That's good, though.
And Travis Kelce.
Yes. Yeah. What's your feeling? Do you think Travis Kelce, will he be around? Will Taylor Swift be on the sideline? That was the conversation we had earlier. Your thoughts on that?
Travis said that he will be in attendance tonight. I don't know if Taylor is in attendance. And if so, I don't know if they venture to the sidelines or they just use the suite that Travis has at Arrowhead.
This is incredible information.
Okay, so now let's just get down to the game. What are your impressions of Nebraska? I always like to know the opposing media's impressions of Nebraska. What do you think Cincinnati's getting into here?
Obviously a very tough team. If you look at the history of Matt Rhule and what he's done, especially going into year three in control of a program, I think that's something you certainly take note of. I think it's a unique game in the sense that in today's college football world, very rarely do you get two really good quarterbacks to be able to come back for another year in the day of the portal. So obviously it starts with Raiola at quarterback. I know they have weapons all around him. They lost a lot on the defensive front, a lot of NFL talent on the defensive front. It's a talented secondary, and what I think is the wild card here is Dana Holgorsen. I've always been impressed with Dana Holgorsen. as an offensive coordinator. Not as much, I think, struggled as a head coach, but so did Cliff Kingsbury. If you kind of look at that mold, I think Dana Holgorsen brings a whole new element to Dylan Raiola in this offense. And if you look at how Raiola played last year, to me, it all starts with the quarterback play, and it's hard to look past that.
If you could ask you a quick question, when we were talking to Mo last week, he mentioned about, I asked, how did Cincinnati, how were they able to keep all of their team together? I mean, there's people on this team that could have left and got big NIL deals, and they all stayed together. And he mentioned that they feel that the team really likes the head coach and really likes the coaching staff, which as a opponent, I'd be very concerned of that, because it seems like, even though the numbers are not great, Tony, but it feels as if the vibe is very good on that team. So can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I think it's very similar to what Mo said. You know, the players, they love the university, and they love Scott Satterfield. And I know the wins haven't come yet, but everything in the meantime has. The brand new indoor facility in Cincinnati just opened. That should help their recruiting. But to your point, Brendan Sorsby was on a lot of different radars in the offseason. He's on a lot of watch lists going into the season. Dante Corleone could have went to the NFL. He came back to Cincinnati. Joe Royer is one of the best tight ends in the country. He broke Travis Kelce's single season reception record last year. And they relied on those guys a lot. I know Scott Satterfield did in forming this roster, where they would bring guys in, and instead of just offering a guy, Scott Satterfield would let some of the leaders on this team meet with the player and talk about culture and fit and feel. And there were players that came in that they might have liked, and the player said, it just doesn't feel like that's going to fit what we're trying to do right here in Cincinnati. And I think they have a really good grasp on that. And with that, a lot of respect for their head coach to want to come back and know how last year they get to 5-2. You think things are trending in the right direction. They lose five straight to end the year. I think a lot of players want to be part of turning this thing back around for UC.
Tony Pike joins us. He's a radio host on ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati and was a great quarterback at Cincinnati, ending his career in 2009. Now, Tony, we have a pretty good idea who the best players on this Cincinnati team are. You mentioned a few of them. Other than the tight end position, what position group is the strong? I mean, I obviously with Royer, the tight end position is strong. What is a strong position group other than that would cause Nebraska problems?
The running back room has dual threat running backs that both have guys on the Doak Walker preseason award watch list. So there's high praise coming out of the UC backfield. But to me, this is about the wide receiver core. And I think Cyrus Allen is a guy that is poised to take a big step forward. Jeff Caldwell is 6'4 in his own right. And folks in Cincinnati, they know 6'4 receivers. T. Higgins for the Cincinnati Bengals is one of them. They didn't have the wide receiver play last year to match a good running game and a really good tight end. And so many defenses could load the box. They could bring extra hats in to stop the run. They could send two to Joe Royer at tight end. I think the Bearcats now have skill players on the outside that can win matchups, and they can win explosive matchups. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a position that can unlock a lot of this offense and help Joe Royer and help Sorsby and help the running game and the offensive line. So I would lean wide receiver, not talked about a lot on offense. And defensively, this team at one point last year preseason didn't know if they would have Dante Corleone due to some health issues. Mm-hmm. They lost a bunch of players up front on the defensive line, which made a lot of young players have to play. Those players are now back healthy, and you mix it in with guys that got a lot of experience as freshmen last year. I think the D-line, in a very unique, but obviously Nebraska knows, a 3-3-5 defense is very unique in college football. I think having those guys up front on defense makes a difference as well.
A concern is myself being a defensive coach is quarterback run game and quarterback ability to scramble. And I use the term making plays when the coaching is over. Tell us about what we can expect from the true quarterback run game, which is quarterback counter, quarterback, you know, zone reads, whatever there is, and then also in the scramble game, because it appears as if Sorsby has incredible feet.
I think he's one of the best in the college game right now at being a dual threat guy, and that's what Scott Satterfield's all about. You know, he wants run, he wants pass, he wants balance. And Brendan Sorsby, he did great at it last year, but the transformation he's made from last year to this year, the weight that he's put on, the muscle that he's put on, he wants to be able to shoulder a little bit more of the running game. Whereas last year, they had a guy in Corey Kiner that they could turn it around and hand it to no matter what. And Corey Kiner was going to find a way to get some positive yards. Sorsby is a willing runner. He doesn't want to run first when he scrambles, which I think makes him more dangerous because if things break down, his eyes don't immediately fall and look to the run. But when he has to run, he can. And he is more than willing and able in the quarterback run game. As you know, when you can even out the numbers game on the defensive side of the ball with a quarterback being a runner, he's going to provide a lot of problems, I think, because of, as I mentioned before, the weapons that are also now around him.
So my 20 Pike. Tony, Cincinnati, by almost every outlet out there, is seen as a bottom half Big 12 team this year. I mean, even the 6.5-point dogs tonight in the game, not much, you know, optimism nationwide about them. Are people overlooking Cincinnati? Do you think they're better than what people are expecting in terms of what we've seen for early season projections for them?
I think so. If you look at just the Big 12 and how it's been the last couple of years, a couple of years ago, TCU was picked near the bottom of the Big 12.
Uh-oh. We lost Tony. We'll try to get him back here in a second. Oh, are you back, Tony? There we go. You're back. We got you. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Arizona State was picked dead last last year in the Big 12, and they make a run to the college football playoff. I just think it's such a hard day and age to judge who you have on a roster. In the days of the transfer portal, in the days of the roster construction where you don't at a lot of schools have players come back, I think they have such a core nucleus back. And I don't think if you watch the...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The week zero last week, Kansas State, Iowa State. You know, I don't think there's a team that is clear-cut and above everyone in the Big 12. I think you can find a path. And for Cincinnati, that starts tonight. Luke Fickell's third year, years and years ago at Cincinnati, they went on the road as, I think, a 17.5-point underdog to open the season at UCLA, Chip Kelly's first game back in the Rose Bowl. And they won that game outright. And that game kind of set the tone and set the ball rolling to get UC back to where they were in the days that I was able to play here and what they were able to do a couple years ago and go to the college football playoff. It started with a very similar road game against a really good opponent where you're an underdog. And the feel in Cincinnati is if you can find a way to win this tonight, you look at the schedule and the way it opens up, and things could be different for them this year.
Tyson, Tony Pike joins us. Tyson Veit is the defensive coordinator. You mentioned this 3-3-5. I've seen it alluded to that it's a unique 3-3-5. You're a quarterback. You had to read defenses. Is there anything you could tell me that makes this 3-3-5 unique?
The way they use the personnel on the back end, the way they're moving guys pre-snap and post-snap, they try to make it very hard to identify the linebackers on setting the protection on the offensive line. They want to make that a little bit more difficult for a quarterback or an offensive lineman who is setting protections. Last year, because of so many injuries, he did it seemingly with one hand tied behind his back. They ran the 3-3-5, but it had to be very base and very vanilla because of the personnel and what they were kind of dealing with. Year two of this system, I expect them to be able to hide things a lot better. I expect them to play more confidently. And I think, from my experience, when you see a defense or players at any level that play confident, they play faster, they play more aggressive, and you get a lot more out of those guys.
100.
Quick question for you, Tony. Let us know what we'll see offensively as far as, will they try to use some clock? Are they going to be a tempo team? Will you guys be a huddle team? Multiple, you see groupings coming in and out, going from 10 personnel to 11 to 12 to 21. What will we see tonight from this offense as far as what they're trying to get done?
They're going to run a lot of different personnel groupings out there. They're going to utilize both running backs. Scott Satterfield said earlier in the week, it's not just a 50-50 thing going into a game. It's going to be, okay, which back is kind of going better, which ride the hot hand. They're going to take shots down the field. but that wasn't a lot of who they were last year. They wanted to possess the ball. Now, I'm sure if you give the opportunity and there's a shot over the top, Sorsby throws a fantastic deep ball, and I think they will take a couple shots just to loosen up the back end of the defense tonight. But they'll mix it up. They're going to go tempo at times if they feel like they're in a little bit of a rut. They'll try to speed things up. But for the most part, you'll see them huddle. You'll see them work a little bit of clock and ideally try to work this defensive front early in the game to maybe open up some stuff late.
What kind of pressures are on your head coach?
A lot. You know, there was a feel last year going into the season that they needed to at least get to bowl eligibility, and they weren't able to do that, especially with how the season started. They had a 21-point lead against Pittsburgh at home.
Okay.
They lost that game.
Ouch.
They lost a game at Texas Tech that they could have won, where they went toe-to-toe in Lubbock with Texas Tech, and they lost five straight to end the year. So it's been a very sour taste a lot here in the city of Cincinnati. And I think when you look at year three in today's age, you know, it's not football from 10, 15 years ago where you get 4 or 5 years to turn a program around. In the portal era, you've got to be able to do that quickly. And if not, you don't want to be relegated to just a team that's always going to be at the back end of the Big 12. So I think there's an understanding here that there is an urgency that this team needs to win and win this year.
It feels like this team really wants to protect, and they're proud of Cincinnati. The feeling of this team is that this means a lot to a lot of players on this team. I came to Cincinnati. I'm from this area. I am proud of this team. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. It was a lot of what I was able to take part in at the University of Cincinnati, growing up in Cincinnati, and going to games where, you know, there was no one in attendance. You know, I remember when I grew up, you had to buy football season tickets if you wanted basketball season tickets with Bob Huggins and how that team was rolling.
It's incredible. Wow.
Football was always kind of the afterthought there. And then I got to be a part of teams that went to an Orange Bowl and a Sugar Bowl in back-to-back years and won the Big East, and seeing what the city did with that and seeing how they got behind the team and this university, the crowds and the atmospheres. It was unbelievable, and I think there are so many people that are wanting that back so bad. Nippert Stadium is such a historic venue. It's one of the coolest atmospheres in college football when that place is packed and you get a night game. And there is a blue chip, blue collar sense of pride in Cincinnati that, you know, we want to get back to this. And they've had the taste. They went to the college football playoff a couple years ago. They've been there before, but what's been out there the last couple years is not good enough by those standards. And I think that's why a lot of people came back for it.
For the fans in Nebraska to understand, Tony Pike played for Mark D'Antonio and for Brian Kelly.
And Brian Kelly.
I mean, give us this
pretty good.
We're a little off subject of just what was that? I mean, that's incredible. Just think, and those guys are going to both be College Football Hall of Fame coaches. And that was your two that came through.
Yep.
What was that like?
It was awesome. You probably couldn't have two polar opposites of coaches, from Mark D'Antonio to Brian Kelly. I saw Mark D'Antonio a couple years ago, and with Mark D'Antonio, I was sixth on the depth chart, fifth on the depth chart, but he came up to me and he asked, you know, how my parents and my siblings were doing. And he remembered the name of all my siblings and parents. And I'm like, man, this is,
wow.
I wasn't a starter for Mark D'Antonio. You know, I was down on the depth chart. And how many players has he come across? And he takes the time, you know, Brian Kelly, I don't know if Brian Kelly could tell you if I had any siblings, but I know that Brian Kelly could break down any defense that you throw at him, and his system was so unbelievable, and it matched what I did in high school. And we were on the forefront at Cincinnati of we wanted to run 100 plays a game as an offense and a spread. And at that time in 08, 09, that was kind of unheard of, but that was all what Brian Kelly was able to instill. It made my job from a defensive recognition standpoint very easy. Because the tempo at which we played, it was very hard to hide stuff. So I'm very thankful to play with not only coaches, but the people that Mark D'Antonio and Brian Kelly were, and guys that had your back, but would also challenge you very openly on a sideline. So you grow up very quickly, but I appreciate everything that they were able to do.
You understand the quarterback position at a super high level, obviously, given your background. Is there anything? Have you watched Dylan Raiola? Do you have any thoughts on what that picture looks like?
I just feel like the games in which I watched last year when they were able to get Raiola in a rhythm early.
Yes.
It just felt like an unbelievable different quarterback. It felt like a quarterback that could make every throw. And that's not just Raiola. That's a lot of quarterbacks. If you can find a way, and I do put some onus on coordinators and finding a way, if you find a way for a quarterback to get those completions early and you start feeling a little bit better, it's like a basketball player who sees the rim, you know, twice as big because he's making some shots. If you're a quarterback and the first couple looks you have are kind of cloudy and you're not really trusting what you're seeing and you miss a throw or two, that stuff can snowball. And I think at times maybe there were lulls last year with Dylan Raiola, but when he's on, when he's got early confidence in a game and they can establish the run alongside of what he wants to do, he becomes extremely, extremely dangerous.
Tony, enjoy the game night. We appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll hope to talk to you in the near future. But thanks again, and enjoy Arrowhead tonight.
That was incredible.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys anytime.
You bet. That's Tony Pike, former Bearcats quarterback, radio host on ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. A lot of good intel there.
Mo Hager and Tony Pike.
I could drive across the country. If I do, I'll be listening to those two.
Mo Hager and Tony Pike.
That was remarkable.
That's those guys. That's Cincinnati radio, 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
They're doing well out there.
That's good.
Yeah, that was incredible.
That's good radio now.
In the insight he had, the one thing that came across for me very strong, they feel pretty good about their team.
Uh-huh.
There was not like, well, you know, and you know what? We're in trouble here. Coach is under fire. Yeah, he is under fire because of his record, but he's not under fire with the team. Team loves him.
And he liked the receivers, too.
He that
liked, unknown
and
group,
me,
he likes them.
Yeah, it scared me when he says Sorsby throws a beautiful deep ball.
And you see the clips of him. Like I said, I don't know what clips they picked out, but the ones you see that I've seen, I'm like, oh, wow. He's really high on Sorsby.
Ball game tonight. Yeah. It's a ball game. This is a ball game.
Sorsby not in CBS Sports top 50.
Sandy's still predicting a blowout.
We got a lot of confident Husker fans here.
Sandy, all right.
Sandy texted me and said, "No, this is 10 plus."
What a shout out to Rudy.
Rudy got Mo Edgar last week and Tony Pike this week. Way to go, Rudy.
And then had a cheat sheet for us to have information on Tony Pike, which we knew things about him, but not everything. He played for Mark D'Antonio and he played for Brian Kelly. I love that one.
That's
Brian
amazing.
Kelly didn't know I had any siblings. Had no idea.
That was a great line.
Yeah, it was too. But he embraced both.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. You know what he is? He was a player. He was like, I love the fact that Mark D'Antonio was really good and he remembered this. And I love this fact too. He wasn't all caught up in like, you know, he's like, I just want to be coached hard. Coach me, coach. That's what he was.
Once again, great stuff from Tony Pike. You missed that. Go on the podcast. Check it out again. When we come back, Nebraska's not the only game tonight. There's more games on the docket. Tonight, we'll look at those next on Early Break on the Ticket.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.